everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
Yes, you are. And I'm Will Alexander.
I'm supposed to say yes, you are.
I know. It's my turn.
Mixing up a little. That's what we're about.
That's right.
Anyway, this show, we're going to talk about some things that I think are very impactful for our sport. We're concerned about the emphasis shifting from breed ring to group ring and some ideas and thoughts about how that can be improved. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh. Yellow hills.
Well, hello there. Hello there, young William. How are things up in wherever the hell you live?
Things are great up here, Wayner. We're both a bit punchy today.
Just a little bit. We'll sort
but
out pretty well.
People like us when we're like this. So
yeah, the problem is that we're visual to each other. So sometimes we're just going to have to laugh at each other and not reveal how stupid we look at the moment. So I want you to picture us on the beach with great tans and six-pack. Not abs, six packs, you know, right next to
us.
And the sun and the beach, because that's really where we are in our minds. That's where we are. Yeah. All right. Well, lots to talk about. Lots going on. You were at shows this past weekend and you're going again. Yeah. What is this, Will? Are you some kind of dog show guy or something now?
I just can't help myself. It's okay. Enter away. Let's go.
Yeah. Where were you last weekend?
I was midweek. I was at a show in Markham.
My goodness.
The Markham Kennel Club. It's held at a club member's house.
Oh, cool.
It's not just a house. I guess it's a beautiful piece of property, you know. And they do a great job. And the show just ended. It was just a two-day show. But then we move on tomorrow to a show in London.
Oh, and so you have a day off and then you get to go.
No, yeah. No day off.
Boom. Oh, really?
Good morning, yep.
Wow.
Yep. I'm going from here, from the Dog Show Drive to my basement to bathe the dogs.
Well, but not before you have a gluten-free pizza.
That's right. Now for the gluten-free pizza.
We got time pressure on us tonight because Will has ordered a pizza. And we have to finish up before the pizza.
Just ready. Bring you guys right into our house. You know exactly what's
going on. Yeah. You don't want us to come to mine. It's full of boxes that are unpacked.
I've Will, been you can go to Will's and get the pizza. Boxes everywhere.
Yeah. If you want some pizza, just go to Lake Etobicoke, wherever the hell you work. Where is Milford?
I'm in Milton. Milford. Right next to Etobicoke.
That's right. Etobicoke. Anyway, well.
You realize, you know, you're joking about our Canadian cities. You realize what just happened? Canada won the World Junior Hockey Tournament.
And no one went.
Everybody went. It's just, it was canceled from December because of COVID.
Yeah.
Or January, actually. And now they did the summer version and Canada was victorious in overtime against Finland.
Oh, that's nice. I did read an article in the hockey news about why no one went. And it was pretty sad. But we shall
I mean, no one. They're all there.
They showed empty seats every night because of the allegations going on.
It was in Edmonton. It would look like a packed house.
Maybe it was. Maybe for the finals.
I don't know. I watched most games. They were all packed. They weren't packed for your team. They were packed for my team.
That's probably what it was. No, I guess there's these allegations. Anyway, never mind hockey. It's not even hockey season. But congratulations to Canada for winning the juniors. Women's or men or both?
Men's.
Both. Well, congratulations.
World juniors.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Well, that's a big thing up there. I know that.
Sure is.
So congratulations. Anyway, I was down in beautiful downtown Muncie, Indiana this weekend judging.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you were there.
Yeah, and Tim Catter. First of all, Tim Catterson's a good guy, but he puts on a nice show. And we had a bunch of good people and a bunch of good dogs and a good entry, almost 1,000. These days, that's a big show. And there are a lot of judges on the panel, 23 judges. Tim's real good at finding provisionals too and giving them a break, so it worked out well. Sue was down there, our other daughter.
Yeah, how is she?
She's herself. There's no change in Sue. But yeah, we had a good time and some nice dogs and some interesting decisions to make. By the way, at the end of the show, since I was born, you got a catalog and tear sheets. No mas. I said, where's my catalog? We don't do that anymore.
You didn't get a catalog for even judging.
Where are my tear sheets? Because I save those to prove, especially if you're doing one of those owner-handler groups, you want to prove that you've judged a percentage or whatever it is you need to apply for. Those are points. But more important, you save them just for the record. So if someone calls and says, hey, you know, you might have goofed up with this writing this number in the book. Oh, yeah, let me look at catalog. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can straighten that out. Well, that's not anymore. So we have to wait. And then eventually they'll send us an electronic version of just our breeds in the catalog with, I don't know how it's going to look, but new money saving thing, I guess, but it's going to change the way my file cabinet in my office looks and what I do. Yeah. I got to print it out. I'm not going to let something sit online. Especially if I've got to, you know, reuse it again in the near future.
Now, when I bought this box that I'm using, I don't want to have to get rid of this box already.
Just throw it away. Well, no more boxes. It probably says something cool on the side too, but no, not anymore. Anyway, I had a great time down there. And, you know, it's interesting because I had good breed entries in English Cockers and Goldens and Labs. But, you know, the same things with some of the breeds, you're just not going to get the breed entries.
Yeah.
But I heard someone say at ringside something that I hear, I don't know, 10 times a day at a dog show. I said, I'm going to use this, an anonymous name. Said someone. I heard someone say, well, where's Mary? And the other person said, Mary didn't get out of the breed. And I thought, two things. First of all, since when do we get out of the breed? Wasn't winning best of breed a big thing? Now we have to get out of it. In fact, when someone says get out of the breed to me, it means they changed from dachshunds to otterhounds. You know, but yeah, we listen to we say these things so often. I've said it myself 1,000 times. You know, we say these things so often that we sometimes don't pause and realize what we're really talking about and what it means. And it just shows how far we've come to discounting breed wins, and how the emphasis has shifted 100% to groups.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah.
How do we get there, Will?
I'm not really sure, but I remember as a child, I think, I'll carry on. As a child, if we won the breed in our setters and went home, like we didn't do it in the group, we still had a great day. We won our setters. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe it's because the sport is somewhat watered down now and the breed isn't as competitive as it once was. Like there was nothing for us to have 40 hour sitters, even up here in Canada when I was a kid.
And sure.
But now, like I was there this weekend, I was the only Irish sitter. You know?
The only Irish sitter.
Only Irish sitter.
I had two and they were both absent because there's no points. One class dog, one class bitch, and they didn't show up. Why would they? Yeah, different days. Billy Kendrick, and if you don't know who Billy Kendrick is, then you must be 8 years old, and that's acceptable. But if you're older than eight and you don't know who he is, you need to ask somebody. One of the greatest dog men, one of the greatest legends in our sport. He's been gone quite a long time. But when the point systems came out, the all breed point systems came out. That's fairly new in the history of the sport. He said they're going to be the ruination of dog shows and breeding. And it didn't really resonate with me back then. Now it does. The dog breeding part is a curious addition. And I think what he was saying or forecasting is that maybe breeders are going to start breeding for those big all breed group points and not to maintain the integrity of type in each breed. And You know, we see a lot of generic people always talking about generic dogs, dogs that run fast, group dogs. Is that a group dog or a specialty? You know, there's some dogs that are specialty dogs and some that are group dogs. I mean, that's just funny, right? And I think he was portending that. And in his opinion, and by the way, I am not here to say that he was right or that he was wrong, nor am I here to say that point systems and groups are a bad thing. People love that. But it sure has changed the game.
Oh, it's impacted us, no question.
And if you, if we continue down this road, all a dog show is going to be is a couple of big renegades with a half a dozen handlers and a bunch of specials running around for 2 seconds in the breed ring. Just go right into the groups. Right? Bring them all in.
Yeah.
And then, frighteningly enough, at this dog show, with almost 1,000 entries, there are 8 dogs in the terrier group. 8.
8 dogs or 8 breeds?
8 breeds. Okay. 8, so 8 dogs, yeah. The terrier group ring.
Okay, I see now.
So 8 breeds represented. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where we learn about breeds. If you're a terrier provisional judge, and there was a terrier provisional judge, all he got to see was 8 breeds. And yeah, I guess it's different. And I guess I'm trying to weigh, am I just so old school because I'm born in this sport that it bothers me? Should I just give it up and say, well, it's all about all breed points and group wins now? They do keep, all the rating systems do keep breed points too.
Right.
No one reads that.
And the dog that wins national special that year usually ends up.
Of course.
Two, you know.
Always. And so no one really pays much attention to that. Yeah, it's a change. Interestingly, when I was finished, in the morning, so during lunch, Pat Trotter called me and she brought this up, as well. And as I was writing about it and thinking about it, and she said, what if we just had, breed judging to get the emphasis back on breed judging? If we announced the breed judges and then just got volunteers to do the groups, take the shine away from it.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Because a lot of people, like you see the exhibitors look right to the group judge. Like, oh yeah.
Well, I can tell you what I did
there because Wayne's doing the group.
Yeah. Well, I did at another registry that I used to be involved with. I'm not going to tell you the name of the registry, but the initials were UKC. But we didn't announce the group judges until the dog show. We didn't tell the judges who were judging the group.
I remember that because I remember being at. In the judges' room at your show, and somebody else thought they were doing the hounds, and you said, "No, today you are not doing the hounds. So and so is doing the hounds."
Yep. I just picked them on the day, and that kept people from entering just for the group. So, I think that's still doable. It would be people would have a riot. Oh no, I'm not going to drive all the way there without knowing who I'm showing to. Well. If you're shown to win the group, I guess not. But if you're shown to have a nice breed win and get the competition, and maybe then more exhibitors show up for the breed because, you know, they don't know what's going on. I don't know.
That'd be interesting. Even if we just tried it for one show to see what would happen.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Well, I'm glad you asked about one show, Will, because as a child, and I had to call Bonnie and ask her, the name of the club, because I thought it was right, but I always check with Bonnie. Bonnie Truffle, by the way, is a font of information. And if someone can't figure out who a dog was or a person, they usually ask Bonnie or I, and we can usually figure it out. Because we grew up right in the heat of it, you know, in the New England, New Jersey area. So anyway, it's the Sawmill River Kennel Club. And it started in 1938. It's an old club. It's still going. Wonderful club. Up to 1987, they didn't have groups. None.
They didn't have a group competition.
No groups, no best in shows. For 47 years, you went there and it was just best of breed competition. Now, towards the end of that, no handlers went. Mm-hmm. Well, there was one. Actually, Laddie. Do you remember Laddie Carswell?
Yeah.
He was the only one. But handlers didn't go. That tapered off the entries because this is when the breed systems came out. So the handlers had to run for group points, so they didn't come. The entries tanked, and they had to finally change their plan, and now they offer group and best in breed. But for 47 years, they didn't have groups. They only had best in breeds. I think that is a giant chunk of American dog show history, that they were able to survive for 47 years. Before,
imagine, because like in the other premise, we were doing at least a volunteer on the day group judge, so there was a chance to at least compete in the group, but no competition there. You won your breed and you went home.
Yeah. Now, no one would go now, right? No. If we tried it today, no one would go. Local owner handlers would go and they would love it, but there'd be very few entries in my guess anyway.
Unless I don't know. I don't know if it was a 1 day event and they chose all these certain experts of each breed. I don't know. You might get a bigger entry than you think.
What if you did it the middle of a 3 day weekend?
In the middle. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of stuck there.
They're there anyway.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. Pat and I toss a lot of things around. She's such a good thinker, and she really this is the sports in her blood in a big way. What if, and this is something Pat mentioned that a lot of people have talked about, and I kind of discounted it for a while. Now I'm back on it. No one wants to go to 300 shows a year. No handler wants to go to 300 shows a year. What if, and it'd be easy enough to do, you can only enter a dog 100 times. Well, you can, yeah, it's not true. You can enter as much as you want. You can only go to 100 shows.
Or only 100 count, you mean?
Only 100 dog shows. Yeah, where you show up. Right. 100 count, yeah. You're not even allowed to go to the 101st one.
Well, you're not allowed to enter it.
No. I mean, you'd have to have some cushion.
Right.
There'd have to be some cushion because you're not certain of points and all that stuff. But something that would limit the number of shows that a dog could enter. That would stop a lot of flying around.
Yeah.
It would save a lot of lives, handlers' backs, knees, bones, brains, guts, mental condition, focus, safety. You wouldn't have to buy a van with 900,000 miles on it. You could limit your area. I can tell you that when I worked for Bob and Jane, we went to the same shows every weekend and we didn't go very far. There's no way we went to 300 shows or 200 or 150. So that's another thing that could be considered as limiting. Now, handlers would say, well, I can't make the same money if I don't show. Sure you can. There's other dogs to show. And maybe what happens then, instead of one dog getting on a roll for 300 shows in a row, you only can show them 100 times. Your other specials can win two. And then it's a better sorting out of who's winning what. And maybe if you're running for top dog and you got 100, you better go to the big ones.
That's right.
Go to the big ones because you only have so many opportunities to get a lot. You can go to 100 little shows. You're never going to be top dog. But you can't go to 300 little shows and be top dog, which you can now.
So what you do is, so say you're showing a beagle.
Yeah.
And if you choose your beagle, you get 100 shows your beagle, but you want to stub. So you have two beagles in your string.
Right.
You show the A dog for the first 100, mm-hmm. and bring out the B dog to hold the competition at bay.
As right. Well. Yeah. True. A chess match, right? For yeah. sure. Billy Kendrick also said, no, that's not true. Bonnie Threlfall said, I should have written it down. But basically what she said was, when we were growing up in the sport, we were taught to be stockmen. Now we're taught to be showmen.
Yeah.
Big statement, huh?
Yes, that is a big statement.
That's for sure. Yeah. We were breeders. We were taking care of our dogs. And now it's about how far you can let that lead right out in front of you and what you're wearing and how fast you go.
Yeah, so true. Even up here, I was having a conversation this weekend with a good friend of mine, Thomas Curley, and we were talking about animal husbandry and young handlers, it was lacking, and that's exactly what Bonnie's saying.
So. Yep. And our friend Doug Belter had a suggestion for for junior showmanship. He said, how about we have a junior showmanship competition every year where they have to be the breeder of the dog? So they'd have to learn how to breed dogs, how to whelp dogs, how to add more animal husbandry, more stockmen, stockwomen.
Actually, a pretty good idea.
It is a good idea. I think IKC is already considering it. I'm not certain. I think I've heard it before. But either way, Doug had a good idea for all the right reasons, and someone should pursue it. Probably wouldn't be many kids.
Yeah.
Now they're showing their clients backup dog, whatever they show. But
unless the prize was something they all wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's lots we could do. Everyone's, the cat's out of the bag. It's too far gone. Now you can't stop. I don't know. I don't think 100 entries, 100 shows a year as a limit. I don't think that would be a big protest. And it would be cool because more different dogs could win. And maybe your backup dog catches hold and takes over. Or maybe you intentionally get, there's handlers that I would hire, for example, to show a Irish setter if they didn't have a sporting dog. But if they have a sporting dog, what am I going to do? I want first call, right? I'm sure you've heard it all the time. Well, maybe you wouldn't need so many first calls if you had 100 shows on each dog. You could give first call twice.
Yeah, one week can you show the Irish setter, next week can you show the English setter.
Yeah. There's so much that could be done, so many creative ideas that can be done, but no one wants to change. And no one wants to take criticism, especially if you're getting paid to not make decisions, to not be creative. And that's too bad. There are lots of ways we could change this for the better, in my opinion.
There is. But I think that in order for that to happen, the clubs and our parent club need to know that there is a problem.
I think, you hear people talking about it all the time. It's like the weather, Will. Everybody talks about it, but no one does nothing about it. we discuss these things all the time at ringside. I don't think I've been to a show in the last couple of years where people don't come up to me and say, we've got to make some changes. This is crazy. Too many dog shows and too few breed entries. There's no arguing that. And if anyone wants to argue, we're not going to take it. Like I said before, no one's taking away your small rural shows. We're talking about the ones that you can go from, you can go to Springfield, Massachusetts, I think 100 times a year. And you can go, if you live in Chicago, you have 200 choices within 300 miles. And that's a real
problem, man. That's where it all stems from. I really do believe that too many dog shows. I wrote an article a long time ago about that. And it still holds
in certain pockets, right? Certain pockets.
Yeah.
We're not saying you're going to reduce the number of shows in Nebraska or Omaha or.
No. And what we consider not remote areas, but they are remote areas. They're allowed as extenuating circumstances.
Of course. But if there's, I know that, Brody lives in Maryland. He can get the shows in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, West Virginia, all in 4 hours. He can be in 20. He has choices. And I do too here in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan itself is just, there's going to be multiple choices every weekend. And I don't know. It's just, no one's going to take any dog shows away from any club. No one has the courage to do that. It's not going to happen. They're not going to start saying you can't have 6 shows anymore. The cat's out of the bag there. So maybe doing other things like trying to find a way. I love not announcing group judges until the day.
That would be very interesting. It would be very interesting.
And limiting dog shows to 100 dogs. It's fun to do too, because everyone's trying to figure out who it is. Well, the way you do this, right, is you say, well, we'll just ask the judges. We know them. They don't know either. The way I did it. At lunch,
I know
we all sit in the lunchroom and tapped on the shoulder. You're doing it, and that's the way it works. Now, if you want to make it democratic and fair, I guess you could put all the judges' names in a hat to qualify for that group. And it's not a problem because everybody's got 3, 4, 5 groups now, so it's not a problem sorting out who's going to do them. You got plenty of choices to choose from, but I don't know.
Up here, we were having the issue with the two shows a day in non-remote areas. And one of the solutions that they tried to come up with, so we were getting like a dog show an hour from Toronto wanting two a day, you know. Yeah, I know. And it was the whole concept for two a days in Canada were for remote areas, like places. The Thompson, Manitoba, I think, was the very first one. Thompson, Manitoba had eight shows in 4 days. And that brought dogs into that show that no one would go to normally. But one of the solutions that we talked about up here, it's never been used, is if the Wayne Cavanaugh Dog Club in an hour from Orangeville, Ontario, has two shows a day, but that year his entries, he had to turn away entries. Next year, he is not allowed to have two a days.
Oh, I see. So they have to have them. I mean, they can only take so many dogs at each of the two shows.
Right. But if there was so much interest, instead of 175 dogs a day, if they were getting 200 entries and they had to turn down 25, you're no longer allowed two shows a day because you're turning
down. Yeah. Are they doing that?
No, they're not. But that was one thing. I think it was Bob Whitney that talked about that.
That's a good way to do it.
It is. And if you don't reach your limit, you can stay with the limited dog shows. But if you do reach your limit and you pass it and you have to turn away dogs, well, then next year you don't get a limit dog show.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something's got to be done. Everyone, but it's kind of like everyone's afraid to make a damn decision or to have the courage to say, we're changing. You can vote me out if you want, but I'm doing what's right for the sport. I'm going to change this. Vote me out, fire me.
Yeah.
But before I go, I got to do something that actually impacts our sport in a positive way. If you think it's positive to just have handlers only, now everyone's going to say, hey, there's breeder owner handlers that win all the time. Westminster was a good example. That's true. But come on, let's not kid ourselves. How many owner handlers, breeder owner handlers, are out there running 200 shows every year to be top dog? It's the ratio is just not.
It's not going to happen. They'd have to quit their job or be wealthy beyond means just to go and show their dog to keep up with the handled dogs.
Right. And I'm not. It's not just lip service. When you say it on TV, I think it's important to say because you do want to reinforce the public that it can be done. But realistically, the ratios and the numbers just aren't there. I'm not against saying it. I think we should promote it and say it and celebrate it. But
you can be competitive at any show, but to stay on the long haul and be top dog all breed,
that's a different deal.
You've got to give up a lot to keep up with the shows that we have now.
Yeah. I mean,
when I was a young man showing dogs, or even before I was showing dogs in Canada, I was just going with my parents. You saw a lot of owner handlers that were number one, two, or three in the country. That's because we had weekend dog shows. We had two shows a weekend. You know, so they worked all week and they showed their dog. And we didn't only had 100 and something shows, if that, you know.
When you have weekday shows, well, you can see it. There's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday show. The biggest entries are obviously Saturday and Sunday, but Saturday
starts to taper off on Sunday.
Yeah, because you got to get home to work.
Right.
And then Friday and Monday, well, that's just people that are doing it professionally for the large part. It's interesting. I don't know. People keep talking about it, but I get every, like, I'm going to be able to change the world. Every dog show, people come up to me and say, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do it. Yeah, we'll talk about it. I agree with you, but nothing's getting done. Nothing changes.
Well, see, I was so interesting when you were running the other registry. It was, in all fairness, it was a dictatorship, but it ran perfectly.
Benevolent dictator.
But because the bottom line is you had the last say, and everything you did was for the good, in my opinion, was for the good of the sport.
No one's going to fire me.
Right.
No one's going to fire me. And the other thing that we were able to do was listen to our exhibitors. What do you want? Oh, you want Total Dog groups? We can do that. You know, what do you want? What is it that works for you? And sometimes it would be something I'd go and kick and scream about, like another set of groups. We're never going to get out of here.
Right.
But if that's what they want, we'd try it. And I tell them, if you're not getting the entries and we're here till midnight, not going to happen. And we'd make changes on the fly. I mean, we invented Total Dog groups and best in shows in the ring of the Total Dog award ceremony. That's, we were in the, Mark and I were in the ring and we said, hey, let's make a dog. You were all in there to get your award present, that, you know, because everybody get that got Total Dog, and that's qualifying in a performance event and the breed ring on the same day. You come in the ring and we give you a certificate and everybody claps to your dog's name and all that. Then one year we just said, you know what, while you're in here, want to have a dog show? And we judged that group of dogs. And the next year we made actual groups for them. And that's how we grew up. But now, have we tried stuff like that that failed? Yes, of course. But if you don't try to do creative things and have the courage to take some chances, everything stays the same. And eventually we'll have 10 billion dog shows and three dogs at each one that no one can pronounce.
It's so interesting from the outside looking in at your shows back in those days, because I only ever judged the bigger shows, the premieres and whatnot. But you'd hear some of our best shows, and they wouldn't make fun of it, but they would think it was a lesser event.
Yes, of course.
When I judged there, I gave best in show to a dog, I think, that went second in group at the Garden.
Yeah. You know?
And it was no walkthrough for the dog, too. It was a beautiful dog, but the best in show lineup was stunning. You know, it was,
right. And in all fairness, not every UKC show is like that.
No, of course not. But not every dog show is like that.
No, that's true. That's true.
I remember being in the Tree and Walker breed ring, snapping a picture and sending it to you. Wait, look at this dog.
Yeah. Man, I'd be down in some coon hunt in Perry, Georgia, and I'd take a picture and send it to you. What about this thing? How do you think that would do with the AKC shows? But those dogs aren't coming.
A lot of good dogs there.
Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be about, it just shouldn't be about trying to be politically correct. It should be trying to be what's best for the sport. And I hope we get there, and I hope changes are made. I think we have a really good group of board members, and I hope they're willing to roll up their sleeves and do something.
And we have some great breeders and some great dogs still being produced in this country and your country, not just my country.
Yeah.
And, so they're out there, you know, they're out there and they want to do better for the sport too. So.
Well, I can tell you, and I think you'll understand, 15, 20 years ago, when someone said they had a Canadian best in show winner, we'd be like,
That's nice.
And then you go up there and you see the dogs up there. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. All those dogs that won Westminster, that's Canadian. Oh, maybe just because their shows don't have 3,000 dogs, maybe they do have some serious quality up there.
Yeah.
And I think people know that now. Yeah, but I don't think they knew it 20 years ago.
Oh, I used to always say them. I said, who do you think is your greatest winning dog in your sport down there? And they said, Mystique. Where do you think she was bred? Who's your greatest male winning dog of all time? Oh, that'd be Matisse. Oh, where was Matisse bred?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can go down the line too.
Yeah.
Where was the best beagle that was ever born?
Ah.
Second best. It's a trick question. I can't even answer it. It's not done yet, but it's
not even—it's hard to put a best label on any. All you can do is go by a number of awards the dog has achieved. But but you even think of, let's go to our breed beagles, and you talk about Miss P. But then you have the dog that our friend Doug showed. That was Canadian bred beagle too.
Was it really? Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Dr. Friend in Alberta. Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
well, Dr. Friend's the nicest man. I don't know if you ever met Dr.
Oh, Friend. Dr. Friend, he is
the perfect name because he's nice. A friend.
He is. He's a great guy. Psychiatrist, I think, isn't he?
Is he a psychiatrist? I don't know.
I think so. Super nice guy, though.
Whatever. He is a nice man. Very nice man. Yeah.
Oh, we have so much... to celebrate in the sport, all the great breeders and great dogs.
Talk about that. Before I forget, I want to send out congratulations. My dear friends, both of them, Haley Griffith and R.C. Carusi, were married yesterday.
What?
Yes. Yes.
To each other?
To each other.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful news. Yeah,
isn't that nice news?
That is great. Congratulations.
I went to the dog show today, and Haley's dad was there. He didn't even know. He found out on Facebook, and he comes walking into my store. I said, Johnny, he said, I know, I've got a son.
Really? Yeah. Cool. Wow, good for that. I had no idea.
No, nobody knew.
Yeah. Wow, that is really cool.
So congratulations, guys, and I'm going to call you separately. So,
yeah. Well, that's why I said to each other. But you never know. Anyway, that's very cool news. Well, we got to, you know, that's the thing about the sport. We can all hope for changes here and there. We can always find the warts. It's easy to do. But there's so much to celebrate. The friendships, the dogs, the places we've been. By the way, Muncie's a cute little town. And you might say, Muncie, Indiana. Well, we had a wonderful time there. Yeah. It's a great little town. And there's plenty to do if you just get out of your hotel room and walk around once in a while. And the show site was nice. It was workable, you know, farm buildings. And yeah, it was great. And the hospitality, the luncheon was wonderful. A lot of homemade stuff from the workers in the club. It was a real nice time. So I had a horrible back and hip going on.
Really? I didn't know that.
Man, I've had a wicked one for a couple of weeks now, but it's getting better on its own. So, well, Haley's telling me how to stand, how to sneeze, and how to walk and all that. And it's definitely helped. She's giving me some exercises. And I have a Theragun. Do you have a Theragun?
No, what is that?
Oh, man. Belter has one too. It's a little.
Now I feel like I'm left out. What is it?
You are left out.
Better get one from Amazon. I'll order it right now.
That's what I did. Actually, my neighbor, who's a dentist and a serious triathlon competitor who's 72 years old. He told me about it. It's a, you know, like a triangle. The mini is what I get. You can get the $500 one, but there's a $150 one. It's a little triangle with a post and a ball at the end of it. And it pounds. It's a therapeutic gun. And you just hold it up to a muscle and, blah, 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 you know, and bangs the muscle. And it works out knots and it does all kinds of things. Doug was telling me he just wedges it between his car seat and his back and sits back on it and lets it do its job. You can use it in many different ways, but sponsored by Theragun.
Theragun.
On Amazon.com. No, really, they're super devices. Any handler that's got back and leg issues and knee issues.
That's any handler.
Is every handler. And exhibitor and judge and Stewart. By the way, I had a great Stewart down there.
Did you?
And yeah, and I said to her,
so important. We've talked about that before. It's so
we
important.
Have. I said, you're the best one I've ever had, best Stewart I've ever had as in the ring. And she said, well, I own the company. I guess she owns a Stewart company. She's a chief Stewart. And boy, she had it down. It's a good thing because
I'm not just the president, I'm also a, no,
sorry. I'm also a what? A client. Yeah. Anyway, when you're out of the ring, by the way, for a few months, like I was when I was sick, the dogs aren't an issue. That's second nature. But that damn book, you have to, when you're in the rhythm of filling out the book, giving out the ribbons, you take a few months off the first time back. And she was, the steward was telling me the same thing. She was sick and she had come back last year and she hadn't been in the ring for 3 months and she had a hard time staying with it. It takes you a minute to get back in, but fine time was had by all. Speaking of judging, one of our dear friends, who I would consider a really, really top flight judge and a great dog man, he withheld on a major this weekend.
Oh, on a major.
Mm-hmm. And that caused there were more dogs and bitches. He held on dogs. So the bitches didn't get a major. The dogs didn't get a major. No one got a winner's ribbon in dogs. And I wasn't there. I don't have any idea. But I can tell you one thing. When this judge did it, I can't help but support him. I mean, it's his prerogative. It's his job. If in his mind, right or wrong, in his mind, you got to initial that book that said, when you sign that book, you've got to say, these dogs deserve championship points.
Yeah.
In case of a major, there's a real good chance you're going to finish it and you're going to get in that picture, new champion, you know, that new champion win photo.
Well, that's a major win. It's a major win. It's a big win.
It is. And sometimes maybe they don't deserve it in that judge's opinion on the day. Right. I'm never going to argue that judge's decision on the day or their right to do it.
Let's face it, as a handler, I've seen people fill up breed with winners classes trying to build majors with dogs that you know are not going to ever finish.
Right. So. They bring six cockers, one's brushed.
Right.
You know, any breed, not just cockers.
Right.
But this was a variety of different dogs, and I wasn't there. Again, it was a breed that can have temperament issues, so maybe it was that. Maybe they were all timid. Maybe they're all skinny. I have no idea, nor do I care. I'm talking about his right to do it and his responsibility to do it when he or she feels that's the thing to do. And I got to tell you, I had a close call this weekend.
Yeah.
I had to put up a dog with a major fault. But with the exception of that fault, it was a really nice one. So I really didn't lose sleep over it. I just hated to give a major out to a dog that had, I mean, the flattest feet I've ever seen in my life. But there was nothing in there, even close. And you're judging the whole dog. It can't be a fault judge. And in that case, it was fine. But we've all had them. I had one this weekend. It was a single dog, single male in a small, low entry breed. The only male entered, the only dog entered. And I could have withheld on his first place ribbon, but that wasn't going to teach anybody anything. So I talked to the guy after. Mm-hmm. And I said, first place. And we need to just stop by later. He looked new. And I said to him, you know, maybe this dog isn't. And I could have withheld on him, but it might not give him the opportunity in a positive mindset to talk to him after. Right. It's going to happen to him probably.
Yeah, like I showed to you and you withheld, I would take it. But if someone that was new and you withheld, that might be the end of their career. Dogs,
yeah,
not doing it. Yeah. So.
And he looked like an older guy who wanted to get into it. He was trying. He was a nervous wreck, but somebody sold him a real beauty. You sell somebody a dog to show? Come on.
Exactly. But I like how you stated it earlier about this friend of yours. It was his responsibility, her responsibility. It's yours. It is our responsibility.
It is.
We're given a great task to judge these dogs, these breeding dogs. And it is our responsibility to move on, let the breeds move on, that individuals in the breed move on that deserve it, in our opinion. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, and I had another thing that I experienced this weekend, not the show I was at. A dog of a particular breed that has a serious bite problem. It's not disqualifiable in that breed. It's a serious fault. Why do you pay a handler and show it every weekend and try to finish it? And finish it. Are you going to breed it? Is that what you do, right? You should finish it to breed it. So back to breeding again. We were talking about last week. Why bother?
Yeah. And a lot of times it's just to put numbers behind their kennel or their stud dog.
Sure it is.
You know,
because you're not going to special it. Hopefully you're not going to breed it. Hopefully, maybe they are. I just don't see the point. I had a bitch who, I may have mentioned this a long time ago, but her first weekend, I showed her and won both majors. The second weekend, I couldn't be there. So a friend of mine who's a handler showed her. And he won the first day. The second day, the judge went back to her bite 3 or 4 times. Now, I checked her bite before I took her in the ring. I'm not stupid. It's a pointer. And the judge checked and said, hey, you're going reserve today. You get the best one. But man, you check this bite when you get out of here. Her bite had gone just like that. At 18 months, I think she was. Just like that.
Wow.
Why wouldn't you? So I stopped showing her. Why? I had 13 points on her, 2 majors and a couple singles from the day before. Why on earth would I want to show her and finish her? For what? I'm not going to breed her. I'm going to find her a nice home or keep her myself on the couch.
Yeah.
In that case, we happen to have a wonderful, wonderful home waiting for her. But I don't get it. Sometimes we get so hung up in the numbers and the records and the winning that we do stuff like this.
As a handler, you always try not to take dogs that you don't think are finishable or whatnot. Yeah. And then along comes an old time client and they say they really want this one finished for some sentimental reason. It's sired by a dog of the heart dog. So you do your very best for them, but you also try your very best to educate the ones that try to just say, "Here, finish this." And you say, "Well, might cost you a lot of money, and why would you want to do it? Why wouldn't you take that money and go buy a better one or move on?"
Well, in this case, it's a really pretty dog. It's a good one, except for its bite. And to me, you know, there's one thing that my father and everybody else taught me a long time ago. You get a bad bite, stop. Go home. Don't ever do that again. Because they don't plague your line forever.
Yes, and your line will be known for all they check their mouths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forever, and you're wasting all this good energy and good dogs. But when you were showing dogs, did you have a good idea when you had class dogs how many points they had? Did you make that their owner's responsibility or yours, or how'd that work?
I tried to keep track myself as well. Yeah. But a lot of times, like there were times when I'd send it home, then we'd get a notice from the CKC and needed one more point.
So
you make mistakes. But back in the days of tear sheets, you didn't make a lot of mistakes. It was tear sheets that.
That's right. That's exactly right. After tear sheets, that's when you couldn't do the calculation. You couldn't go back and see all that. Right. And now, you know, in the catalogs, they put the point scale at the top of the breed entry. They didn't do that back in the day. So it makes it even easier.
No, we used to have to take the catalog and trudge off out to the super secretary's desk and sit there and go through things. Who's doing sheets today? Oh, great. I did them yesterday.
Yeah. When we working for Foresight, that was one of your jobs. And I don't know, there's probably 100 breeds back then and we showed all of them. So you had to go get tears from people that you knew didn't have cockers, you know.
Today it's so easy. Now you just take a picture. You don't have to go and buy the catalog. Yep. Take a picture of the catalog, send it off to the client with a marking on it.
Wow, that's nice, huh? Yeah. It was kind of something. It was a lovely ritual. But again, you weren't going to 300 shows. You were going to Saturday and Sunday for about 40 weekends. So you sat down and you had the tear sheet and the ribbon. And you could wrap the tear sheet, fold it around the ribbon.
Around the ribbon,
and put it in the envelope, and Monday morning out they went. That was Janie's method. That's the way we did it. And people loved it. Now it's just, I mean, I had this handler from Canada showing a beagle for me. I never knew if the hell she won or lost or what. that guy looked just like you.
I told you just to trust him. Just to trust him. He'll do right by you.
At the end of the day, you knew I didn't give a she won or lost anyway. We were just in it for fun. We knew we had no need to anoint me with a record. But anyway.
Oh my God, what were they thinking though?
That's right. Those idiots. So you're heading just back to shows tomorrow in London.
Yeah, I go to shows. My very good friends, Mike and Sandy Gellinus, they're at Kennel Club just tomorrow, Elgin Kennel Club. It starts tomorrow morning. I think I have Irish setters at like 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Wow, you better get in the tub.
I've been showing all day to save time.
You and the dog could get in the tub. That might not be a bad idea.
When I was a kid, I used to do that with English cockers. We didn't have a real dog bathing area back then. I used to just take the English cockers into the shower with me.
That's good to do it. I know our daughter's beagle will go in the shower with anybody. She just likes going in there and taking a shower with people. Just stands there and has her shower taken. But other than that, life's a cabaret. Well, young William, I know you've got a pizza coming.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And I do want to, and I only want to talk to this lightly, but yeah, we went through a thing with COVID where we didn't have shows anymore and people were dying and we just are convinced that there's no problem anymore. And every show I go to the last couple weeks, people are getting not just a little sick.
Yeah.
Real sick.
It's still out there. It's amazing. It's social media. It's the flavor of the month. Well, this isn't the flavor of the month anymore.
Monkeypox are trying to scare us with now.
Yeah, but it's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah. And these variants aren't, you know, they're acting differently. Let's just say that. And some people are getting very sick. So just be careful. And, you know, whatever. Again, I don't care about your politics or your religion or your freedoms or any other damn thing. I'm just saying, if it's in you, if that's the way you feel, take care of yourself. If not, throw caution to the wind, that's fine. But yeah, respect your, if you have a cold, if you're sneezing and coughing, just be a human being and test before you go to a show.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
And it's mask, so easy to mask, test now, you know.
It's, yeah, mask, no mask, it's up to you. I don't care. But just if you don't feel well, don't go or test. Yeah, but I have a really good shot this weekend and I can finish my dog. Yeah, and you can kill 10 people. So I just wait till next weekend to finish your dog. And so you can get out of the breed and into the group. You got to beat the breed. Oh, and by the way, as George would say, Mary didn't get beat in the breed anyway.
Exactly.
Her dog did.
Her dog did. Yeah, I mean, as a kid,
Mary had no chance of winning or losing at all because exactly. She wasn't a dog.
Oh, my God, dude. Called Georgie. How'd you do this weekend? Oh, went best in show. Oh, you went best in show.
He's right.
Oh, right. I know he's right. And now I catch myself doing that to other people.
Yep, I do. Yep. Yeah, all day long now, I'll be like, who won this weekend? Joe's dog, Irish setter. Joe's
Joe did. Yeah.
Not just Joe. Yeah. You got to flesh it out, the breed name at least to be legit. So. And remember, puppies come out of bitches. They're sired by. I think we should sign off every week with that, just until we get it straight in people's heads. Anyway, young William, it's always a pleasure. I'm going to go upstairs and sit on the front porch and watch the sunset over the big lake. Oh. And I hope you have a lovely GF pizza and a wonderful show tomorrow.
Well, thank you, my friend. And everybody else out there, stay safe no matter where you are. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your dogs, and we'll see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
No run, way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me thanks grace, for bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reels.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Taking yourself damn seriously.
Watch the move under my feet. Stranger things
have
come and gone. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold back.
Thanks, Ernie.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Won't hold back.
Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
Man, I want to see it on a blooper anywhere.